Our reading's taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Steve. You know, Paul often says in his letters, you know, every time I think of you, I give thanks to God for you. That's absolutely true of this church for me. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to God for you and all that we've shared together. So, just what a privilege, always incredible privilege, just to open God's word. And the question was, what shall I preach about today? Quite often people, churches give me a verse and they tell me what to preach from, which is fine, but you didn't. So I just had to choose something to preach from. And I thought, what's really burdening on my heart? What's the big thing on my heart at the moment? Big for us, and I think big for our society. And for me, it's the issue of hope. Because so much of what we're seeing, well reflected in the prayer that you prayed a few moments ago, is that sense of almost hopelessness in our world. So many dreadful things are happening. You think, have I got the strength? Seriously, have I got the strength to watch the news? It's just so awful day by day. And to see what's happening in Gaza, we remember what happened October the 7th, and desperate atrocity against Israel, get that. But to see tens of thousands of people losing their lives, many of the women, you know, I don't need to tell you what you already know. But it just seems so hopeless. And you look at Ukraine, how amazing that country has been, how amazing. But to see the way in which they have been devastated through the last 2 years. And, you know, look at the political scene. I won't depress you for long. But, I mean, look at the political scene in this country at the moment. It's just gloomy, isn't it? It's just hard work. And you look at America. Oh, let's not look at America. I mean, it just, wherever you look, it just looks so despairing. And you think, alongside that, we need to hold the fact that we're a people with hope. In fact, not just hope, but if you've got that last verse that Paul's said, or that he wrote, we're overflowing with hope. Yeah, well, get that. What's this? What's going on here? But I want somehow to unpack with you. How can we not just have hope, but overflow with hope in our society? I mean, even talking the language of hope, I'm sure many people would look at us and think, obviously just a bit simple. They don't understand what's going on. If they really understood what was going on, they'd be as hopeless as everybody else. But we want to say, no, we are a people of hope. Not just a people of hope, but we overflow with hope. So let me unpack what this is all about. I'm going to leave you with this prayer. It's my prayer for you. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you, talking about you, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fantastic words, but what's it all about? The first thing to say is that this hope that Paul is talking about is not a narrow hope. And those are very interesting verses which Steve read to us. Because if you read the Old Testament, it looks as if this hope may just be for the people of Israel. And what Paul is saying here, and he uses a number of proof texts to make the point, he said, if you read the Old Testament properly, it's not just a hope for the people of Israel. It's actually hope for the world. And that's why he keeps talking about the Gentiles. You know what Gentiles are? They're the rest, simply. You've got the Jews and the Gentiles. Jews, everybody else. Gentiles really means the nations. It's just everybody else. So Paul is saying, if you read the Old Testament properly, you'll get this, that God's purposes, yes, they were in a special way for the people of Israel, no question about that, but actually it was for the sake of the whole world receiving a message of hope. So he has four proof texts. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. So it is for the people of Israel, but it's for everyone. Praise you, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, Jesus ultimately, who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. What I'm saying to you, and this is really important, is this hope is never just for us. This hope is for the people out there, for the people you walk by as you go away from this service. It's the people you work with. It's for your family. It's for Caversham. It's for Reading. It's for the world. Hope for everyone. So let me unpack for a moment what this hope is all about. What kind of hope are we talking about? Because hope is a strange word. It's a word that can be used in so many different settings, isn't it? But we need to be clear what this hope is about. The first thing I'd say to you is this hope is definite. And that makes it different, actually, from the way in which we often use the word hope, because quite often, in fact, probably usually, when we use the word hope, there's a maybe in our voice. So I hope it will be sunny this afternoon. Maybe, probably not. But, you know, it's certainly not definite. Or I hope my relatives will visit this week. Or I hope my relatives will not visit this week, you know, whichever. But there's a maybe in your voice. It may work out like this, but it may not. When we use the word hope in the New Testament, there's no doubt about it. There's no maybe in the air at all. It's definite. It's firm. Donald Coggan, former Archbishop of Canterbury, commented on the word hope in normal conversation. And he said it's, as we normally use the word hope, it's a weak and flabby word, he said. But not the New Testament use of this word. This is something definite. This is based on the events of Easter, of Jesus dying on the cross and rising on the third day. We have hope which is rock-like. We can depend on it with the full weight of our lives. Paul wrote, Romans chapter 8, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is not let's hope it all works out all right. This is, we know it will. We met Jesus. We're sure he will not let us down. The writer to the Hebrews spoke about our hope as being like an anchor that's both sure and steadfast. An anchor which gives you absolute security in the storm, but actually gives you a sense of confidence, peace, when there's no storm, because you've got an anchor. I was here yesterday for Claudine's wonderful Thanksgiving service. If you want to know what it is to have an anchor, just remember the life of Claudine, how blessed we were to know Claudine, how terribly she suffered, and yet consistently she was true to her faith, true to Jesus, and we thank God for every memory of Claudine. I'm struck by the way in which time and again Paul says it's important to imitate. Do you know, he says, I'm imitating Christ, and then amazingly he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And the truth is, that's how Christianity works, isn't it? We learn what it is to live for Jesus by watching other people. Yes, other people here in the church. And I would just commend to you, don't get this wrong, but the imitation of Claudine. As we thank God for her steadiness, her firmness, her love, you know, let us continue to be enriched by her memory. You've got it. Hope is definite. It's something firm. It's something secure. It's an anchor. But I can't leave you there, because if I left you there, we could feel that this hope is just something to give us a warm glow. We can sit back in our armchairs just feeling good about life because everything's in its right place. And that's where it begins. But this hope is also dynamic. It leads us to do things. That's definitely the case in Paul's life, because he was filled with, to overflowing with this hope. He was motivated to be busy for God, incredibly busy, facing incredible persecution, danger, faced death threats, whatever. He was up for it because he was committed to serving God. And look through the history of the church and you'll see that people who've been filled with this hope have done stuff. I used to live for 2 years, as many of you know, lived in India. It is on my mind because a friend I was hearing from yesterday has just been to the town where I lived. We go to Kerala, bottom left of India, as you look at it on the Arabian Sea coast. You go to Kerala and you'll find that it was the Christian missionaries who built the roads, who built the hospitals, built the schools. They did flipping everything. They were just, why? Because they were filled with hope. And look at our own society. You look at the history of education in this country, the background to all our hospices certainly, but hospitals. Christians have been there. They've done the stuff. They've done the work. And it continues to be the case. Thank God for that. If you're looking at food banks, you're looking at street pastors, looking at so many initiatives that are going on, and initiatives I know you are taking as a church, offering warm spaces and all of this. It's wonderful, but it's exactly what we need to do because we've been filled with this hope that is overflowing. It leads us to action. I'm delighted that the offering of breakfasts in Swindon is done. I just think it's an amazing ministry. It is an amazing ministry. Every time I hear about it, I'm stunned by what's going on. And we've got another group that work with us to provide evening meals on Monday and Tuesday evenings. And again, 80 to 100 come to see the line of people in the rain or whatever it is, waiting to get in at 6:30 when it opens up on a Monday and Tuesday evening is deeply moving. All sorts of people are involved in providing the service, not just Christian. There are lots of people, there are lots of Christians involved with lots of others as well, and that's fine. But what I say to the people leading these groups whenever I have the opportunity is, this is Jesus stuff.
This is what Jesus wants to happen. Why? Because we're a people filled with hope and we cannot keep it to ourselves. We must do things. And I'm always excited working with God's people, because working with God's people is always about looking at the more we can do, the new initiatives we can take, exploring new ways of reaching out for the Lord. That's the dynamism which has come to us because we've received this hope. I normally try to avoid alliteration like this, but it just fell out this way that I've got three D's for you. It's a definite hope. It's a dynamic hope. Thirdly, this. It's a directed hope. We're going somewhere. Back to India for a moment. India is interesting, and I loved living in India. There's no doubt about that. But the thinking of Hindus generally is that time is circular. So life is full of happy times and wonderful times, and then times of sadness and brokenness and death. And the thought is it just goes around in circles. Do you know, if you stand around long enough, you'll come around to the revolution. It's not going anywhere. History is going nowhere. It's just going around in circles. That's not Christian thinking, which is we're going somewhere. We're here now, but inspired by the Spirit, we're going places with God. He's leading us somewhere. We're citizens of heaven. So we actually live, we're citizens of heaven now. And what happens in time to come is we come to a fuller realization of that heaven. But God is with us on this journey, leading us somewhere. We're going forward with purpose, with direction. I find this an exciting message to share. And do you know, I feel proud to know Jesus. I feel proud to have a message that we could take boldly out to the people with whom we live and work. A hope that is not just enough hope to keep us going, but a hope that is overflowing. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share more than 2 minutes with you this morning. To share my heart with you. We're a people of hope. For those of you who are here yesterday, we were full here yesterday to celebrate Claudine's life. Keep that memory in your heart. God has met with us. He has filled us with His Spirit, and He now sends us out not just to have enough hope to keep us going, but to overflow with hope. May that be true for you. I'm going to read the prayer of Paul as I conclude, because it's my prayer for you. May the God of hope fill you, the people of Caversham Baptist Church, with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.